Hello and welcome to Truth and Journalism, a radio broadcast dedicated to applying the Word of God to current events. Well, today on Truth and Journalism, we're going to talk about librarians. Now, if you haven't heard, a whole lot of people in Indiana are losing their minds because of a new Indiana Senate bill that is going to the Indiana House. Lots of people are warning that this will have a chilling effect on free speech and is going to make it impossible for school librarians to do their jobs. There's a lot of big talk going on. And because a lot of people are talking about this Indiana bill, I thought that I should, you know, read it and understand it. So I actually read the bill. I know, shocking. Many people in our society seem blithely unaware that these things are actually published. But they are. And you can read this bill too, and actually I highly recommend that you go and read the bill in full. And as far as, you know, bills go, it's pretty short. It's only about 6 pages of itemized material. And the part that everyone's up in arms about with the school librarians is really short. In fact, it's so short that I'm going to read the relevant portions now, and I am going to take some things out which you can read on the Indiana website, but the things that I'm taking out, but I'm going to read the relevant portions right now. So, the Indiana bill states that Chapter 5.5, School Library, Section 1, as used in this chapter, appeal committee refers to a committee comprised of the school principal, a parent or guardian, and a certified librarian employed by the school. Section 2, the governing body of a school corporation or charter school shall publish on the website of each school and make available in hard copy for a parent or guardian of a child enrolled in the school a current list of each book contained within the school library. Section 3. The governing body of a school corporation or charter school shall establish 1. A procedure for each school to allow a parent or guardian of a student enrolled in the school to submit a complaint that a book in the possession of the school library is inappropriate to students, and 2. A response and appeal procedure for each school to respond to a complaint submitted by a parent or guardian. If a parent or guardian submits a complaint under subsection A, a certified librarian employed by the school corporation or charter shall review the book that is subject to the complaint and make one of the following recommendations. 1. That the book be removed from the school library. 2. That the book be placed in an age-appropriate section within the school library. 3. That the complaint be denied. If the recommendation is to deny the complaint, the certified librarian shall provide a written response to the parent or guardian. C. If the person who submitted a complaint under subsection A disagrees with the recommendation of the certified librarian, the person may request that the appeal committee review the recommendation. D. The appeal committee may uphold, modify, or overturn the recommendation of the certified librarian issued under subsection B. The appeal committee shall issue its decision in writing. Section 4. A. If the person who submitted the complaint under subsection 3A of this chapter disagrees with the decision of the appeal committee, the person may submit a final appeal to the governing body of the school corporation or charter school. B. After reviewing the complaint, the recommendation of the certified librarian, and the decision of the appeal committee, the governing body of the school corporation or charter school shall do one of the following. 1. Order the removal of the book from the school library. 2. Order that the book be placed in an age-appropriate section within the school library. 3. Deny the complaint. If the decision is to deny the complaint, the governing body shall provide a written response to the person who submitted the complaint. The written response shall be made public at the next regular meeting of the governing body. Section 5. The governing body of a school corporation or charter school shall publish each policy established under this chapter on the website of each school. Section 6. A school corporation or charter school may not make available a book or materials that contain 1. Obscene matter, as described in 3549-2-1, or 2. Matter harmful to minors, as described in Indiana Code 3549-2-2, within the school library. Continuing on, except as provided in subsection B and section 4 of this chapter, a person who knowingly or intentionally 1. Disseminates matter to minors that is harmful to minors, 2. Displays matter that is harmful to minors in an area which minors have visual, auditory, or physical access, unless each minor is accompanied by the minor's parent or guardian. 3. Sells, rents, or displays for sale or rent to any person matter that is harmful to minors within 500 feet of the nearest property line of a school or church. 4. Engages in or conducts a performance before minors that is harmful to minors. Engages in or conducts a performance that is harmful to minors in an area to which minors have visual, auditory, or physical access unless each minor is accompanied by the minor's parent or guardian. And then this is that person commits a level 6 felony. Okay. So that's the really relevant portion of this law, and you can see I did skip over some of the material for sake of time, but it wasn't really pertinent to the discussion. And again, you can check with me to verify whether or not the material I omitted was relevant, because you can just go and find it online very easily. So what is pertinent to this discussion is that this law effectively ensures that if school libraries have porno in them, that they either need to get it out or the librarians will face felony charges. And the thing is, that isn't hard to understand. And the bill specifically references the relevant portions of the Indiana Code that let you know what material that's harmful to minors and what pornography are. Because what Senate Bill 12 says is that if a librarian or teacher or anyone for that matter, that all of these people are subject to a level 6 felony if they distribute material to kids that is obscene or harmful. And again, they use the Indiana Code's definition, and I'll read it for you now. Indiana Code 3549-2-1, obscene matter or performance. Section 1, a matter or performance is obscene for purposes of this article if, 1, the average person applying contemporary community standards finds that the dominant theme of the matter or performance taken as a whole appeals to the prurient interest in sex. 2, the matter or performance depicts or describes in a patently offensive way sexual conduct, and 3, the matter or performance taken as a whole lacks serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value. Indiana Code 3549-2-2, matter or performance harmful to minors, Section 2. A matter or performance is harmful to minors for purposes of this article if, 1, it describes or represents in any form nudity, sexual conduct, sexual excitement, or sadomasochistic abuse. 2, considered as a whole, it appeals to the prurient interest in sex of minors. 3, it is patently offensive to prevailing standards in the adult community as a whole with respect to what is suitable matter for or performance before minors. And 4, considered as a whole, it lacks serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value for minors. If you have a problem with this, then you're depraved. What the bill says is that public schools can't have porn, and librarians, you know, the people in charge of the libraries, are going to be held liable for the material in the library. If you are an Indiana librarian serving in a school or children's library, just get rid of the porno. It's not so very difficult. I mean, maybe I'm old-fashioned, maybe I'm a bit hard-nosed, but I think that the standard should be no obscene or harmful material in children's libraries. I mean, when I come to power, porn will be just made illegal again, so this will all be a moot point. But until that day, this is a positive step forwards. Because let me ask you a question. Why should librarians be exempt from laws about distributing porn to kids? What is it about being a school librarian that should shield you from the prosecution that literally anyone else would face? Now, I'm a scholar. I use libraries a lot. I have my own personal library in print. I have access to over 14,000 books and articles on my Bible study program. And through my alma mater, Dallas Seminary, where I'm currently working on a PhD, I have access not only to Dallas's libraries, but libraries across the world. I spend a good amount of time using libraries, and research librarians are highly skilled, highly trained, very necessary members of the research community. I have the utmost respect for good librarians, and librarians have served and will continue to serve a vital role in the research and knowledge preservation community for the foreseeable future. Moreover, librarians who really know their material can be a massive resource. They can help people to find materials to research, to direct them, to help them to create effective searches, to develop useful bibliographies. Also, librarians can help people select books that will be enjoyable and worth the time of reading. So please, I could continue, but I won't. But please don't mishear me. I respect librarians and the work they do. But just because I respect the job librarians do doesn't mean that I think they get to act with impunity. The school library is not the librarian's personal fiefdom where they get to direct the hearts and minds of children whithersoever they wish. No. A public school librarian is an employee of the school, tasked by the school board to provide and direct children to materials that will promote their education in line with state standards and the goals of the school board, which are reflective of the purposes of the voting community. The librarian is not the queen of books who gets to stock her shelves with what she deems best for the children. What parents want be damned. No, she is an employee, bound by certain expectations and limitations. And the Indiana Senate Bill 12 insists that some of the limitations on school librarians must include not being able to have porno on the shelves, nor to direct children to harmful material. And I think that's reasonable. Hey, call me crazy. But I think that librarian is not a position that should give someone the legal authority to show prurient and pornographic material to kids. I know I'm old-fashioned, but I guess I can't help it. And friends, what's the alternative? That we permit school librarians to have porn on the shelves? Is that the solution? Is the solution that we allow a select group of people to be immune from the laws that protect children that everyone else has to follow? The Bible's pretty explicit about not leading children astray. It's clear. In chapter 18 of Matthew, we read, "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, 'Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. If your hand or foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into the fire of hell. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you, their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father." It might be possible for Jesus to have spoken in stronger language, but I think that this is strong enough. If you're going to turn a child away from Christ, if you're going to cause them to stumble, if you're going to scandalize a child to cause them to sin, it would be better for you to commit suicide. Now you might be thinking, but Luke, Jesus was clearly using hyperbole. Suicide is a sin. Jesus cannot mean that committing one sin is better than committing another. Oh, Jesus most certainly can mean that committing one sin is better or less evil than committing another. All sin is evil, but some sin is more evil and does more damage than other sin. Lusting after a woman is sin. Going and committing adultery is a worse sin. Lusting, adulterating, and abandoning your family is an even worse sin. Anger is a sin. Murder is worse. Jesus is saying that killing yourself would lead to a less awful judgment than to be a corrupter of children. God will deal so severely with those who corrupt kids that you'd be better off committing Harry Carey. Now, I know a little bit about the Bible, and the way I read this text, it tells me that some librarian would be better off committing suicide than to stock the school shelves with porn. God will deal less severely with the self-murderer than with the one who corrupted a child. And the Indiana bill protects all parties. It protects children from being corrupted, and it protects those who would corrupt children from storing up God's wrath against themselves. And that's what laws should do. They should promote righteousness and punish wickedness. Discouraging evil is part of what good laws do. Discouraging the corruption of children is something that good laws do. It's tragic that such a law even needs to be considered. But all sorts of things in this post-Christian society are tragic. Now is not the time to sulk, but the time to take action, all kinds of action. Prayer, evangelism, righteous living, and righteous political action. Because Jesus does care about all of life. Jesus even cares about the books in the children's library. So let's take action through prayer, evangelism, righteous living, and righteous political action. I hope and pray we will, and I hope you'll join us again next time for another exciting episode of Truth in Journalism. Thank you. And may God bless your day to His glory.